I want to share with you something. We are in Sunday school. We're doing a study of overcomers from Dr. David Jeremiah, and some of the lessons are just too good to pass up. So I told my class, I said, "Look, you might have to hear it twice, three times, but I said this literally looks like something I could preach." And so I hope you enjoyed it. Strength and weakness, renewing our strength. Now, most of us, if you simply ask out in public, what do you think about weakness? Well, weakness is bad. Strength is good. But actually, you know, there's really no such thing as weakness. Weakness is just simply a word we call the absence of strength. It's like darkness. It's the absence of light. Silence is the absence of noise or sound. So it's not really, it's just the absence of strength that we're looking at, and we got a different word on it. Look at Isaiah 40:31 there that the prophet wrote, and I love this. This is one of my favorite verses, but I love this verse. It says, "But to those who wait on the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." They will renew their spirit in order to get strength. That's what it says. They will renew their spirit. Now, Ephesians 6:10 said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." Now, Ephesians 6 is a book that has an awful lot of things and metaphors in it that talk about, you know, withstanding the devil, fighting the devil. We're told to, you know, get prepared with instrumentation, protect our body. Let's have a shield of faith. Let's have the belt of righteousness. Belt of truth, and then the helmet of salvation. We shot our whole body with things to protect us from against the devil. But what we fail to realize, those are just metaphors. You know, when's the last time you saw somebody walking down your street with the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and all that? You don't want them Roman helmets on. We don't see that. It's symbolic. But it's very symbolic to us. But I don't know if you witnessed this, but in those examples in Ephesians, we're not called to ever go and attack the devil. Did you notice that? We're all on a withstand basis. He says, "Stand firm, so the fiery darts can't reach you. Stand firm in the Lord." And that's where we find our strength. If we're to find strength, that's required in this world. We'll find it in the Lord. We won't find it anywhere else. And I can tell you right now, you can muster up all the strength you've ever thought you had. And you can do it personally. And I mean, and you can try and use every means known to mankind. And I'm telling you, you'll never get close to being strong as you would be in the Lord. You just won't do it. It's impossible to do. Romans 8:37 said, "We are more than conquerors since we have the victory in our Lord Jesus Christ." We're more than conquerors since we have the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us. Now, as we go down through those verses, I want to look at Isaiah 40:29 when he says this. He said, "He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength." So God must be, he's looking for those that are in weakness. He's looking for people in weakness. And when we display to him that we're weak and we need his help, that's what he does. He's waiting to help. He can't wait to get to us to help. Now, I put some things in there in your notes about, where is it that we find God's strength? How can we just talk about this and all of a sudden, how can we find the strength of God? I said, where do we find God's strength? Well, Psalm 59:17 said, "To you, O my strength, I will sing praises, for God is my defense, My God of mercy, oh my strength. Oh my strength is the only thing that comes from God. Now I'll use this with Sunday school class a couple of times. If you've got a personal computer at home and you've got the hard drive sitting up, you know, I'm talking about the old phase ones, not the laptops, but the old phase ones where you have the box over here is the mainframe, and you got the screen and the keyboard. If you could think of that, hardware for the computer as being a file cabinet. And when you buy the computer, you tell the guy, I want so much memory. In other words, I want my computer to store so much, as if to say, I want a file cabinet so many feet long and so many feet wide that it have that capability of storing whatever I want to put in it. Now, that's where I picked up this word download from. Because we don't actually download. We do, but in the sense that we're talking about, if we need the Word of God to help us get through a period of weakness that we've come into, we simply have to go open the drawer and pull it out. And pull out God's file for what we're going through, and we can do that. And that's what he's saying here. He said, just as easy as you want to do it, when you want to find God's strength and download some strength into your situation, your life. How do you download? You key in, I am weak. Weakness is overtaking me. I need you, Lord. All these things the psalmist said. We have to admit before him, Lord, I'm weak. I can't do this myself. And Lord, I need you. I want to download your word. And I want what word I need for this situation. And most, you know, God will listen to your situation. And he will show you through his word what you need to regain strength and get back into position strength. You know, the thing about what we do in everyday life here is kind of strange, because we're fighting from a position of strength already. We're just waiting until the Lord comes and takes us home again. We're in a period of time, the church age. We're in a period of time waiting on when he decides to come and take us back again. We don't know when that's going to be. But in that period of time, it's been quite a few years already. In that period of time, we've got to know how to survive in weakness and weak problems. We've got to know how to do it. It's not like we're beaten to death and poor old refuge people of the devil. The devil's defeated them all, and they're all just waiting for it. No, it's not like that. We're coming from behind the battle winner. Jesus won the battle. Can you imagine what it took for him on the cross to take what was not his, take our sin for him and take it away from us? He did what we couldn't do for ourselves. And now we're just waiting for him to come and take us back. But it's in that waiting that this occurs. And it's more an example of what you can do, what you ask the Lord to do in your situation, that you can help yourself immeasurably. If you follow keys, if you say, "Hey, I'm just really terrible right now. I'm not doing this right. I'm not doing that right. Where do I do?" Most of the time, when I do that, I go back to Scripture somewhere, because I got, you know, you get out of the habit. And I'll tell you now that I've said this to you before, but if you just bring in your Bible to church on Sunday, you throw it in the back seat of your car, and the next time you have to wipe the dust off of it to get back in the building, it's not helping you, friend. It's not helping you. You're not using all, you know. It's like somebody giving you $10 trillion and you saying, "Well, I think I might go buy a $100 car." You're not using it. You know, it's not there. It's there, but you're just not using it. You're not calling on it. God's ready to give it to you. He wants you to have it. But that's God's word. You can find strength in the Word of God. if you just download it from the computer. Now, the second one is downloading God's strength and worship. Downloading God's strength and worship. Now, I don't know how much you know about what goes on here at our church for worship, but we got three or four people. Keith obviously leads it. We got three or four people that work on it every week, and they get it down, and it's important. It's very important. And you can tell. I can tell you right now. If you're down in the dumps and you're feeling weak, you're not feeling like even being in church. Don't know why I went. You come in here, and this worship service is supposed to stir you up. This worship service, a lot of times, even if I'm preaching, I won't be in the mood to preach. I'll just be saying, Lord, you know, been praying and praying and praying. But I come in here and I hear songs that are sung. I hear the way the band's doing. And boy, I mean, I want to fly up here then. It's just that way. So worship is a way to answer God's strength, to get his strength. Isaiah 61:3 in your notes says, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. His people may be glorified when we come together and worship. And I hope you, if you have an opportunity to come to worship every chance, every opportunity you can. There are times when you can't. I understand that. There are definitely times when you can't be here for whatever reason, sickness. I went through a long period of time just recently where I could not be here, and it was agonizing. I got lazy. I'm telling you, I got lazy with God because I wanted to be here, and I couldn't. Help wouldn't allow me to be here, and I certainly didn't like the COVID thing that we had to go through. None of us could be here. But I look for strength in things that, and one of the things that I missed, I read my Bible and found strength in that, but one of the things I missed was the worship service. Now, yeah, I pulled it up online, and I watched it, but it's not the same. Let me tell you, it's just not the same. And, you know, as much as I enjoyed it, each week I would think, what would it be like if I were there? You know, what if I were just there? It'd be fine, you know. Well, God asked us also, the probably the most difficult one, is that we download strength in waiting. In waiting. Not many of us are patient, are we? We're not patient at all. Do y'all get these phone calls on your phone, and you know it's from Davenport, Iowa, and you don't know anybody near where they, and you answer the phone, hello? You don't hear anything for a little bit, and then, hello? Mr. Maddox? No, I don't know you. Why? And I asked one another day, I said, why are you calling my phone? I must have upset her because she hung up real quick. She got out of that. She wanted to do that. But these people do that over and over and over again. But we have to be strong and waiting. And waiting. And I heard this story. This guy was talking about a trip to a nice restaurant. He said, you know, you think about this. You go to a nice restaurant, take your family. When you get to the restaurant, you can't find a place to park because they're all taken. This is a real nice restaurant. And you have to wait, go round and round the restaurant until you can find a place to park. So you wait to park, and you go in park. Then you go to the front door, and there's a person that greets you there and tells you how many minutes it's going to be before you, that you're going to have to wait. Just sit and wait. That's before we call your name. So you're waiting again. They call your name, okay, and you go, they lead you to a table. And they say, have a seat right here, we'll be right with you in a minute. So you're waiting. You're waiting again, aren't you? They come back to your table and they say, what would you like to drink? And you give them your order, whatever it is you want to drink. And they'll say, I'll be back in just a moment with your drinks. You're waiting again. They bring the drinks to the table and they finally say, okay, what would you like? What would you like on our menu? What would you like to order? And you say, or do y'all need a minute? Yeah. Do y'all need a minute to make up your mind? I look at Sharon every time we do that and I'm going, you know, so I can't even, most of the time I can't even read the menu. So I'm going, no, no, no. But anyway, they want to know if you want a minute, but you order. Okay. Then what happens? You're waiting. You wait again. Okay. They bring the food to the table and set it all up and you start eating. Okay. And when you get through eating, you kind of looking at your plate and you know, most of it's gone. You know, not all of it. Maybe most of it's gone. The other, it's gone. Waiter's done been by 3 or 4 times. And you look at it and you say, why is he, what is he doing? Then he finally comes to your table and gives you the bill for what you just ate. Now, all that's great and all that. But the audacity of the whole thing is this guy, they call the waiter. They call him the waiter. You're doing all the waiting. And same thing is true with doctor's offices where you go, you know, from the big room to the smaller room to the smaller room to the smaller room. Finally, the doctor comes in, spends about 5 minutes with you, and you walk out paying for all the rooms, right? But waiting is difficult for us. Let's face it, waiting is difficult. None of us want to wait for anything. We want it right now. And it's just difficult for us to do that. But God tells us that in our waiting, there is strength. If we just wait, there is strength. There are some times that God wants us to wait because the situation has not worked itself out yet. He wants us to wait. The book of Habakkuk, I think I said it right, I don't know. I've heard it called everything under the sun. But the book of Habakkuk, if you haven't ever read it, it's only like 3 chapters, read it. But it's a prophet of God, and it's a time when God's people were just being shellacked. I mean, just being overrun, winning all the battles against the people against them, the Chaldeans, were winning all the battles, and Habakkuk is looking at this and he's going, God, what are you waiting on? Won't you answer? Lord, help us. We need you. They're destroying our villages. Can you not see what they're doing? And all the way through his book, he's begging and begging and begging. And finally he understands, and a weird language that God uses is that God's using the Chaldeans. He's not through with the use of them yet. They're supposed to punish the people of Israel for what they had done. And God was going to use them to do it. And so he basically tells Habakkuk, you got to wait. And Habakkuk then, what's really crazy, is he begins to praise God for that. Because now he knows a little something. He's not waiting anymore. Waiting is very, very difficult for us to do. There's a guy who I heard a story from R.A. How many of you know who R.A. Torrey is? Great preacher and Christian writer for many years. And he had a story. He said some guy was waiting in his church and couldn't get anything out of the Bible. And he said he came to me and said, the whole thing just mixes me up. I try to read it, and I try to read it, and I get nothing. Absolutely nothing. And so the pastor told him, said, well, look, said, I think you need to go to 2 Peter. It has 3 chapters in 2 Peter, and it's short. And he told the man, he knew he could do it, so he said, he told him, I want you to read 2 Peter 12 times a day for 2 months. And then come back and talk to me about understanding the Bible. Well, the old man got Second Peter out, and man, he began to read it. And then he read it again. And read it again. He read it days before he ever said anything or made a mark. And finally, after a few days of reading it, he took colored pencils and underlined parts that were making sense to him, parts that were hitting his heart, that God was targeting his heart, and that he was seeing. And he put those colored pencils on them. And as the days wore on, he became so emotional with what God was telling him from 2 Peter that he began to weep, and he cried. And after the two-month period, he told his wife, he said, honey, I've ruined my Bible. He said, all those colored pencils and my tears have stained them, and there's another color now. And she said, if the color's dark, don't worry. She said, so you're so much lighter than you've ever been because you've read 2 Peter. That's what the Word of God does. It strengthens us. And that guy was strengthened by that. Now, there's a couple of things I put in there to this strength through waiting. First of all, is a slow down plan. We got to slow down. We run at everything we do. We do. Our society does that. Sometimes I don't understand it. Yeah, we were talking in Sunday school this morning. You ever have a guy pass you doing 70, 75, 80 mile an hour, and you over here like this, and he, boom, just gets back into traffic before he hits somebody, and about 500 feet up the road gives a turn signal and turns into this building. You know, I wonder, what was he in such a hurry to do? You know, what was the deal? You know. And don't ride in the left lane. Don't do it. Move over. Do something, because somebody's going to get mad at you riding in the left lane. I know for sure. But we live in a fast-paced world. We need to slow down so that mentally and spiritually, because all the speed needs to be is conducive to hearing from the Lord. We need to be just fast enough to hear from God. You don't need to go any faster. I think slowing down a lot of times because Christ emphasized that slowing down. He said that many times to his disciples about how they need to slow down. The second one I put down there is get quiet. Get quiet. The quietness is the absence of noise or the absence of sound. You know, I was looking at that this week. Where is it that you can go to get quiet? Some of you young moms in out there, I know you are wondering where that is too. Sharon and I kept our two grandchildren 3 days this week and two nights. We still love them. We love them, but Lord, you know. It takes more strength. I needed strength. I did. I need a lot more strength than what I had. But we've got to be quiet. I think quiet time alone with God is the time when you're allowing God to take time to speak to you. You know, God's not going to shake. There's no need him shaking you down to speak to you. You love him. You're supposed to offer the time for him to do it. Can he shake you down? Yes, he can. And he does sometimes. But God is waiting for your quietness. Jesus constantly encouraged his disciples to get in a quiet place. Isaiah 30:15 said, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence, you shall be strengthened. You shall be strengthened. So slow down and get quiet. And the next thing is we find strength. If we do that, then we find strength through prayer. I left that out as the last one because that's the first one most of us go to. And I believe the Word of God should be the first one. That's just me. But I believe the Word of God should be the first place we go to when we're looking for help if we're weak. Because it has such power to strengthen us. The Word of God does. Our prayers sometimes are focused on the wrong things. They're focused on the wrong people. They're not calling the name of God. They're not focused on the power and strength that God has. We sometimes don't pray that way. But prayer is certainly a channel that God uses to give strength to our lives. We're supposed to pray in all situations. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 talking about we to pray without ceasing, living in constant avenue of prayer or conversing with God. And a lot of people read that and they say, I don't know about just praying without ceasing. You know, that's a little bit strange. Praying without ceasing. Won't go around all day praying without ceasing. No, to me, it simply means your prayer when you start in the morning doesn't end until late that night when you thank him for his day. So you don't formally have to call on him anytime during the day because he's with you. Yeah, he's right there. And you can say, Lord, I need this. Lord, I need that. And he hears you. He hears your prayers because he wants to and because he loves you. Now, in the Psalms, we see God's people praying for strength. And this is kind of what we need to, focus in on here, on praying, like praying to get strength. He says there in Psalm 6:2, have mercy on me, O Lord, for I'm weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled. Buddy, could I recite that one every day? O Lord, strengthen me, for my bones are troubled. Psalm 22:19 says this, but you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Lord, don't get too far away from me because you never know what kind of weakness I'm in right now. And Lord, I need you to help me, so don't get too far. But you are my strength. That's what the psalmist said. Lord, you're my strength. You're everything I need that I can find in you. And then in 1 Corinthians 24, we read this. It says, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Christ is the power, and he is the wisdom of God to all those that have been called. And then in 2 Corinthians 12, Paul talks about a thorn in the flesh. We've all heard about that. We're not sure exactly what it was. But Paul talks about a thorn in the flesh. Three times he asked God to take the thorn in the flesh away from him. And you probably got some kind of a problem, medical, whatever the situation is. Could be mental. It could be emotional. It could be a relational type thing. How many times you prayed to God to take care of it and he hadn't done it yet? And y'all not being truthful now. I mean, y'all just hiding it. But I do that a lot of times. And you know what God told Paul? He said, Paul, my grace is enough for you. My grace is enough for you. And I think about, when I think about my troubles or something, and I'm praying for this or praying for that, what that comes to my mind real quick. My grace is sufficient for you. You don't need to go here, go yonder. Michael, my grace is sufficient. I'm giving you grace and giving you an abundance of grace so you'll know what to do. Charles Spurgeon once said, God doesn't need your strength because he has it all. What he needs is your witness because he doesn't have any. We sometimes tend to think we're strong and then we think everything's fine. When we stop depending on God, he allows us to experience weakness so that we'll know who our real strength comes from. Where is it? The cross of Christ is probably the single most important place where we see weakness and brokenness of Christ demonstrated by what he did on that cross for us. And what he did will never have to be done again because he did for us what we can't do for ourselves. He took on our sins. And because he took our sins and went to the grave, was raised, and now is in heaven, set at the right hand of Father, and he's waiting to come and pick up his people. And when he was on that cross, can you imagine how weak that must have felt? But he's God. See, when he was on that cross, all he had to do was snap his fingers, and there would have been legions of angels clear the whole place out. Wouldn't take him too long. But he didn't do that because he loves you and he loves me. That's hard. That's hard for most people to understand because they're taught that, you know, they're taught that love is this, love is that. But when you talk about Jesus loving you enough to pay for all your sins, enough to take on that, you know, I think all my sins, I can't even think of them all. But he loved me enough to take on all of them. And so he demonstrated through weakness there the ultimate strength. God took the most weakest point of man in history and took it and made it a strength. He made strength out of weakness. That's what he wants to do. That's exactly what Christ did for us. And you know what really gets me is people fail to realize this now, because the same power and the same spirit that did that dwells in you. Because we tend to think, well, there are two Holy Spirits. One was real powerful over here and took the sin of the world. No. It's the same one that raised him from the dead. It's the same one that lives inside you. And it's the same one you have access to. And I hope that, you know, I hope that in some way encourages you so that you'll know that's always available. Galatians 2:20. And buddy, am I finishing way ahead of Brother Frank? Y'all make note of that. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm telling you that you can't go much further than that. Keith, you can come if you would, my friend. Get us ready for our invitation. Let me just say to you as he's coming, I don't know where you are with problems. I don't know where you are with weakness. Some of you never trusted God as Lord and Savior. And boy, I'm really concerned this morning. I'd like for you to come forward this morning. But I want you to do it out of your own step, your own decision, not mine. I'd love for you to come this morning and be saved and start walking in newness of life with our Lord Jesus Christ, because he loves you so much. Let's pray first before we sing today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all that you have done for us today. Lord, we cannot begin to name the goodness that you have given us, Lord, and all the blessings, Lord. It's just amazing. But more than anything else, Lord, the fact that you love us in such a beautiful way. And Lord, that you love us whether or not we loved you. You love first. And out of that abundant love, Lord, you give us strength to live and stand firm, Lord, when we need to on this earth. And I thank you for that, Lord. Lord, I thank you for these folks that are gathered today in this auditorium. And Lord, I want to ask you to bless them today. I don't know where they are in their situation, but Lord, I pray if there's one not saved that he'll come and kneel in a few moments under this invitation song. And I pray that any that need to come that are experiencing weakness, you may have been saved a long time, Lord, I pray that they would come this morning and get that right with God. Lord, our altar is open. And we ask people if whatever your need is, then they come this morning. Pray for our pastor and his family, Lord. They never lose my consciousness, Lord. I pray for them and ask you to bless them. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.